Today on Real Radio.
Those of you who think that somehow women are supposed to be less than, verses 4 and 5, notice it says that women cannot pray or prophesy. It says when they do. Ministry in the church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series within a series that focuses on a section in the letter, chapter 11, where Paul deals with issues like hair length for men and women and husbands being the head of the home. Quite obviously, it really can be a debated and controversial section in the New Testament, as you can well imagine. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Authority, Submission, and Love.
The Holy Spirit didn't sit on Jesus and the Father put him in a headlock and say, you will go down there and you will die on the cross. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? That's a great verse, by the way, for a business partner. The singular plurality of the Trinity of God. God is one. Christians, we believe in one God, and he manifests himself in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus willingly submitted himself to come to earth. That God who inhabits eternity allowed himself willfully to be veiled in human skin. That, you know what, you want to talk about miracles? I want to see somebody's leg grow. Hey, that's cool, I guess. I want to see the blind open their eyes. That's cool. You want the greatest miracle of all? In my opinion, this is my opinion, that God would leave eternity and put human skin on. That freaks me out. That I, when I think of Jesus walking around in Galilee, skin was containing the Creator God of the universe. Says Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. Amazing. It's all rooted in love. There was no cosmic debate and argument as to who would be the Redeemer. Not at all. Jesus willingly laid his life down. And the Bible tells us regarding the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of kenosis, that the head of Christ is God. Jesus willingly took upon that human skin. And church, right now at the right hand of God the Father, seated in heaven, is a man for all eternity, the God-man, Christ Jesus. When he died on the cross and rose again from the grave, it was the glorified Jesus being resurrected in human skin. That's why when you're hurting, crying, sick, in need of direction, or absolutely whatever your issue is, and you say, oh, Jesus, help, oh, Lord, guess what? The Son of God sitting on the throne turns to his Father and says, Father, I know exactly how Jack feels. He just poked himself with the rose bush, and he's crying out to me now in his great peril. That's your Jesus. That's the God of the Bible. And so when you read about Christ being subject to God, it is willingly. The Bible tells us that he gladly laid down his life in self-determined, calculated submission to the Godhead. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 tells us who, mark this verse, it's awesome. Philippians 2, 6 says, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be obtained, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Listen to this. Taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of humanity or a human. God came to earth. This is our example. What should any man or any woman have as their focal point of submission, authority, and love? It is none other than Jesus. Jesus said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Christian, you ought to write that verse down. This should be the mission and vision statement of our lives. Hey, you guys, come on. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Okay, act excited anyway, because this is exciting to me. My food is to do the will of him. My sustenance, what I live off of, he's saying, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. How cool is that? This is the plan for our lives. I love following Jesus. It's never boring. Is your life boring? man, if your life's boring, you need to be a Christian, a real one. Be a real Christian. It's crazy. Somebody asked me, I was speaking somewhere yesterday, and the guy goes, how's it going? I go, man, it's going great. He goes, how are you doing? I go, fine, the last time I checked. I said, the key is to not check. I said, I'm just keeping up with Jesus. I love it. I have people telling me what I'm supposed to do tomorrow and where I'm supposed to be. But I got to tell you, who knows if that's true? Right? Well, first of all, the rapture could happen. We could be out of here any minute. That's cool. But listen, I mean, I've got a calendar that tells me how I'm going to live my life, where I'm going to be. But listen, God can intervene at any second. I love it. It's exciting. In fact, the more you submit to him, the more exciting life becomes. That might even be true in a marriage if you think about it. If there's that love and that respect and that biblically based relationship, that marriage should cause both of those people to flourish. It's remarkable to think. It's remarkable to know. The Bible tells us again regarding Jesus in John chapter 1, beginning there, John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That makes Jesus the Creator. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, meaning mankind coming into this world is illuminated with spiritual sensitivities. By the way, I think it's so amazing how a child, did you know you have to tell a child God's not real? What kind of a sick freak would tell a kid that God's not real? I don't get that. Verse 14, John chapter 1 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Only one time and one person came from heaven and veiled himself in skin. And that is a wonderful thing. Notice verse 4. It says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Capital H, the Lord. But every woman who prays and prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her husband, her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. So what? This is weird. What's going on? A couple things. Number one, mark this down. We're talking about Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. I have to be very careful what I tell you here right now. This is Corinth, Greece. Epicenter of pagan worship, first century church, first century. You can go online and look at the various gods that were worshipped in the Greek empire, okay? In the Greek spiritual empire, that was the Roman period. When you went to go worship in the city of Corinth at the temples of Dionysus, for example, or Artemis, or Diana, or Zeus, or Jupiter, or Titan, any of these gods, you would do what they require. And isn't it interesting how the pagan gods of our own creation always sanction and endorse what our flesh wants? Oh, mighty God of Porsche, I bow unto thee. What wilt thou have me to do? Buy a Carrera. I will obey. You see? And then the guy tells his wife, I'm sorry, you know, I just heard a voice in my head. I just had to do this. The gods of our flesh indulge our flesh. So what they would do is that they would go and they would, as often as those systems had this, they would hire with their offering, a temple prostitute. I'll just say this. You could identify a temple prostitute in Greece, in Corinth, because her head was shaved. Why? Because she had to play numerous roles in her worship system. I don't want to elaborate. Your mind's filthy enough to think of what I'm talking about. We have to bring those thoughts under Christ all the time. It is a sick Hollywood thing. It's a Vegas deal. It's a weirdness. These are the pagan. Didn't Solomon say nothing's new under the sun, huh? It is a sick worship system of the pagan gods. And Paul is going to address this issue about hair covering, not covering. What's going on here? These Christian women in Corinth had become born again. They're believers. They heard about their liberty in Jesus. They're free. So some women were tempted, man, I'm tired of dealing with my hair. And so they began to cut their hair, and the church, it created a scandal in the church. It doesn't mean they shaved their heads necessarily, but what Paul is saying is, man, you better be careful here. Why? Because that was the culture back then, speaking about authority. These were wives of husbands. And the announcement was physically being sent to the community, hey, there's a pagan woman right there. And then she would have to turn and say, no, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm sorry, I mistook you for one of the pagan temple prostitutes. I'm sorry. And Paul said, you need to avoid that stuff. Is that not true today? No. Not necessarily with the hair. By the way, hair, no hair, long hair, short hair, God don't care about hair. Okay, that's not the point. In that culture, it was an announcement of submission. Who is she submitted to? The pagan gods of Greece? Or is she submitted to the Lord? Well, how would that be indicated? She is a wife of a man. Very significant. Notice here that it says that the man, he shouldn't have his head covered when he is in the place of worship. You know, if you're on your toes right now, you'll think, you'll say, well, why do the Jews today wear a little yarmulke on the kippah on the back of their head? What's that all about? And they'll tell you, because when Moses came down the mountain, he had a covering on his head. That's sweet, but it's not biblical. We have these pictures in our minds because of movies that when a rabbi or Jesus prays in a movie, he covers his head. That's not biblical. See, what? The Bible says that the man should have his head uncovered. Why? Because it is a symbol, a type, a picture that a man who presides over a home with loving care and provision has a direct connection with God and that there's nothing in between. Moses wrote that, given by God, in the Levitical testimony after he came down from the mountaintop. A man shouldn't have his head covered. Now, again, we're talking about the culture. You say, well, what does that matter to my life? We do this. We do this today. What would a woman display to announce to the culture she's taken? A ring. I had a friend of mine tell me, she's a stewardess, and she said, she was single. I don't know if she's married now, but I go, I notice all you girls in the plane, you wear these ginormous rings. Have you noticed that? They're going down the aisle. They're like leaning sideways because they have this she goes, oh man, that's to send a message to the wolves on the plane to back off. You're sitting on an airplane with 300 people and, you know, and these guys, hey, babe, hey, sweetheart, hey, honey, woo. She goes, no, you just stick that ring out there. Boom. Right? And sends a message. We all relate to that. What does it really mean? I belong to someone. I'm not available. Back off. Stay away. Spoken for. Taken. But when the culture sees a different message, I'm available. Listen, men or women, men and women can send a message. I'm available or I'm taken. There are still cultural things that we need to be very sensitive to in this day and age. It's very important. We understand that. But it's significant. But I think it's wonderful here, by the way, those of you who think that somehow women are supposed to be less than, verses 4 and 5, notice it says that women cannot pray or prophesy. It says when they do. Ministry in the church. Some years ago, regarding women ministering in the church, we had Elizabeth Elliot speak here, and she went out of her way to convince me that what she was doing was not violating scripture. I said, I understand exactly what you're doing. She was so careful, and I respect that of her. But she wanted to make it very clear that she wasn't usurping authority over any men, because the Bible says that that shouldn't happen. But the context was a pastor. She's not a pastor. And she came and spoke powerfully, I might add, as what you would expect. But listen, everyone in this room, the context of this, 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 11, is marriage and submission, authority and love, one another to Christ. The wife to the husband to Christ, the pattern that that's to follow. And it's a great thing. I think that if that happened today in Christian homes, maybe more young people today would want to get married. They'd see a good example. When it really works. Man, I hope you understand that today. I'm going to show you something here in a moment, but I want you to remember this word about submission and authority and love, the witness of marriage. It is a summed agreement between one another in a unified, self-sacrificing love. If it's not rooted in that, you're going to have a totalitarianism in your home. There was a debate, presidential debate. And a guy by the name of Byron York, pretty well-respected guy, threw himself under the bus. He crashed himself. And the poor guy, you look at he's trying to recover. He asked a question in the debate that he didn't ask of any other participant in the debate except a woman. He asked a woman, Congressman Michelle Bachmann, a question. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. And since then, his career has crashed. You're going to watch a man in a moment completely destroy his stellar years of journalism, go down the tubes in one flaming, crashing moment. But notice how Michelle Bachmann, who is a born-again believer, I've met her personally. I heard her give a 50-minute Bible study. She's amazing. She's got five kids naturally born, four or five naturally born kids, 23 foster children that, by the way, her and her husband started several companies, and all the proceeds from that company goes to sending her foster kids to college. She's a remarkable woman. And if Byron York could take words back, these are the words that he would take back.
In 2006, when you were running for Congress, you described a moment in your life when your husband said you should study for a degree in tax law. You said you hated the idea. And then you explained, quote, "But the Lord said, be submissive. Wives, you are to be submissive to your husbands." As president, would you be submissive to your husband?
For that question, Byron. Marcus and I will be married for 33 years this September 10th. I'm in love with him. I'm so proud of him. And both he and I, what submission means to us, if that's what your question is, it means respect. I respect my husband. He's a wonderful, godly man and a great father. And he respects me as his wife. That's how we operate our marriage. We respect each other, we love each other, and I've been so grateful that we've been able to build a home together. We have five wonderful children and 23 foster children. We built a business together and a life together, and I'm very proud of him.
All right. Thank you, Representative.
You see the mushroom cloud over his head? Wasn't that a great answer? That was a great answer, and we need to remember that. That's a great, great response. Point number two today, verses 8 to 12, is authority, submission, and love as seen in creation. As seen in creation. Look at verses 8 and 9. Authority by order of God's creation. He says, "For a man is not from woman." That is, Adam was made first in the creation of God. "But woman from man." God says that he pulled Eve out of the side of Adam. Different. "Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man." What does that mean? Don't think for a moment that God said, "Okay, Adam, you rock. Us guys, we'll stick together. Hey, Eve, get us a cup of coffee." That's not what it's meant here. You'll miss it completely. In the spirit of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, this is what's being said. Adam, you came first. You came from the dirt of the ground I've made. I formed you. I breathed the breath of life into you. Eve, on the other hand, has come out from you. She is flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, sir. And what you will do from this moment on is focus on your ministry. Didn't God say to Adam, name all the animals? But Adam was unfulfilled, wasn't he? God says, tend to the garden. Adam was unfulfilled. God says, hey, Adam, lay down. You're going to go to sleep. General anesthesia. God knocks him out, pulls out Eve from the side, establishes her, introduces them together. First wedding in the Garden of Eden. God brings them together. And then, and only then, does God say, this is very, very good, by the way. And Adam is a happy guy. And this is your ministry, Adam. You give your life for her. You love her. You take care of her. Listen, you are to show my model and picture of redemption through this woman of yours. And how sad it is that when she and then eventually Adam, the Bible says that Eve listened to the serpent, then Eve went and spoke to Adam. Adam listened to the woman, and the Bible tells us that they got into an argument. First recorded argument in the Bible. He said, she said, literally. The order of creation was messed up in the fall. But the Bible says, Genesis 2:7, for the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became. The word, listen, any evolutionist in the house right now, the word became means in an instant man began to breathe. I love that. The Bible tells us, guys, listen up. The ministry of the woman in marriage is our responsibility. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives, treat her with understanding. That'll keep you praying right there. That takes a miracle. As you live together, she, listen, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Notice that, the new creation, spiritual. He says, if you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Are you a Christian man? Yes. Are you married? Yes. Then listen, the only way that your life and ministry is going to be effective is that you keep a relationship healthy with your wife. Secondly, it's this, submission and preeminence in his creation. For this reason, a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. You ought to mark that. That's pretty weird. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of a woman, nor a woman independent of the man in the Lord. He's talking to believers. You say, what is that thing in verse 10? Regarding a woman having a symbol of authority over her head, in that culture, listen, we would say a ring or her, the way she dresses, perhaps, I don't know. But regarding the angels, because of the angels, listen, you guys, there's two theological camps. There's two answers to this. Personally, I like them both, and I believe them both. Some scholars will say the reason why this verse says this is because angels are always present among humans. And you know the Bible speaks about that. Do you know the Bible says that regarding angels, we need to be careful? Not, listen, this is interesting, not demons, demonic activity, not demons, but angels. The Bible says that angels have an ability to appear and disappear in our physical world. They can show up and leave. You say, what?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last section of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The title of this study, Authority, Submission, and Love. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at this very much debated and controversial section of the New Testament. Authority, Submission, and Love. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we realize that it's not always possible for you to hear every single broadcast of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs when it airs. That's why we've made subscribing to podcasts of Real Radio real easy. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on the button on the right that says simply podcasting. Again, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on podcasting. It's real easy. Subscribe and you'll never miss an edition of Real Radio. Listen to each broadcast at the time that's best for you. That's at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.